the light company, Indianapolis Power and Light, IPALCO. They got all kind of names. But the bottom line is they bring you electricity. And not only does every house or apartment have electricity, but almost, I think it's 37% of all households in Indianapolis get their heat from electricity. So you can't escape electric. You cannot hide from electricity. In the house is Brandy Davis Handy. She is the director of all good things for Indianapolis Power and Light. And Leah Brown is like the head of all things customer service. So, you know, so if you all can seriously, because y'all been asking for Power and Light to be here. So this is your opportunity. 239-1310. 239-1310 is afternoon's names. Let me start with Brandy. How big is IPALCO? Because people may, there may be people listening in the suburbs and say, wait a minute, my bill doesn't say IPALCO. It says, you know, Duke or Queen or King or somebody electricity. You know, who does IPL, Indianapolis Power and Light, serve?
We have our service territory is central Indiana. Mm-hmm. So, Indianapolis, we have parts of some of the surrounding counties, but in total, we have 470,000 customers. So that's residential, commercial, industrial.
So it's primarily Marion County, but you got some parts outside of the county that you serve.
Yeah, there's a few parts.
And this is unusual because a lot, you get your power. You got a couple plants here that make the electricity, but a lot of the power comes from elsewhere in Indiana and comes here?
In terms of our generating units, we mm-hmm. have Harding Street, which mm-hmm. for most of our customers in Indianapolis are familiar with our Harding Street Generation Station. Right. We also have Eagle Valley, which has been in the news a lot lately because of our plans to close those units and build a new combined cycle gas turbine in Martinsville. And then we also have our biggest generation unit would be Petersburg, in Petersburg, mm-hmm. Indiana.
That's down
Southern
on the
Indiana.
River. That's down on the Ohio River.
Correct.
One of the things that people may not realize about electric companies, companies that transmit electricity across the country, and I didn't realize this till I went to a meeting several years ago at IPALCO's building. After 9/11, utility companies like IPALCO had to put in extra security steps after 9/11 to keep the boogeyman from going after you all. So this is, you all are considered not just providing the electricity, but a part of Homeland Security?
Definitely, definitely. We have close relationships, and we have a full security staff within IPL, and a lot of our members of security are former police officers. We have some former FBI agents, and you know, one comment that I get from a lot of people who come visit me, I work out of our Monument Circle building, but people come and they're like, "Why do I have to go through so much just to get to your office?" Mm-hmm. And it's because what we're doing is important. When you think of those basic needs that get you through the day, when going back to this January when we had the huge storm. Right. And so at that time we had about 65,000 customers out during that initial 3-4 days. But it's times like that where you realize, okay, when I don't have my electricity, a lot of things aren't able to happen. And so we understand that as a utility, we could be a huge target. Mm-hmm. And we take that seriously.
One of the things, speaking of when the winter and there were power outages, one of the things that people because just about everybody listening, a lot of people listening have a cell phone. They have a fancy cell phone that they can go on the internet. And when the lights go out, that's when the cell phone gets important, particularly if you have it charged. If you don't have it charged, you really are out of luck. But you've got something where even on your cell phone, you can go to IPLpower.com and kind of see, okay, where are the outages? Where are the outages? Or report it on the phone if your landline phone is out because the electricity is out.
Yeah, that's one thing that we really focused on this year is, you know, the thing about this storm is we knew it was coming, and mm-hmm. so we were able to get out a lot of safety tips ahead of time. And so one thing that we kept putting out there on social media was make sure your cell phones are charged, but mm-hmm. you are able to go to IPL Power to see where the outages are, to also report outages. You can also give us a call. But, you know, having that cell phone, especially in time where so many people are getting rid of their landlines, it's important to keep it charged.
Is that also because we're here in Tornado Alley, and granted we have not, you know, been victimized by a very, very serious tornado activity here in the immediate Indianapolis area for a number of years, but should it also be in terms of listeners knowing, hey, if you hear that there may be a big storm that might come, make sure your phones are charged. So if all of a sudden a tree is down in the neighborhood and knocks power out, A, you've got the ability to call Indianapolis Power and Light and let you all know that the lights are out. And secondly, the phone has a little bit of a light that you can see and kind of move around your house.
Yeah, I mean, that's part of my emergency plan at home. Every time I hear those storm warnings, whether it's a tornado or even a severe thunderstorm, I plug in my cell phone, I plug in my computer. I make sure that everything is as charged as it can be.
239-1310, 239-1310 with Brandy Davis Handy and Leah Brown with Indianapolis Power and Light. One of the things I thought I read somewhere several years ago is that companies that build products that use electricity that you have to plug into a wall are sneaky, in that sometimes the consumer may think they have turned the appliance off, but it is still there drawing power and spinning that little wheel in the meter. Is that the case? Is that something that people need to realize, that maybe some of those newer, fancier appliances they have that plug in the wall, they think it's off, but it's not off?
Definitely. It's funny. I just had a conversation with someone at IPL about this yesterday. We constantly are putting out energy efficiency tips on our social media sites. We have them on our website. But, you know, I was one of those people where I plug in my cell phone at night and then I keep the actual charger plugged in throughout the day, even though I'm not charging a phone. Mm-hmm. All of that stuff is using electricity. And there was a recent report that came out yesterday, or not yesterday, heard about it yesterday, about the amount of electricity that gaming consoles use. So for those of you who are using different games, and then if you're not playing it, unplug it.
Oh. Because then it's making the little thing spin. And so how do the meters work? Here we go to Leah. I'm going to see how smart Leah is. On these, when you look at an electric meter that's outside your house, or if you know where they are in your apartment and you go down there to the little equipment room, it's got that little wheel that's kind of spinning. That's one telling you that you got electricity and it's working, right?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
And does it spin the same rate if you use up more power? Does it go faster if you use less power? Does it go slower?
Yes. And honestly, Brandy, I'll rely on you as far as how many times it spins. But sometimes we'll get questions of, it's spinning really fast. I must be using a lot of electricity. Well, that's probably the case than if it was spinning slower. But that doesn't necessarily mean that your bill is going to be skyrocketed, because it can go, for example, if your refrigerator kicks on, your freezer kicks on, you'll notice it's spinning quicker than before, or AC, for example.
All right, let me start. Folks, they're already ready. They're already okay. They're already on the text messaging at 37890, keyword Amos. And they say, I tried to report overgrown trees interfering with power lines on my neighbor's property. The owner is an investor that lives out of state. I was told I couldn't make this request since I'm not the property owner. Why is this the case? And you got that look like maybe that's not what they should have said.
Right, yeah. So there are some responsibilities that are the customers, mm-hmm. And that's usually the line going from the road to the house.
Right.
But if it's in what we call imminent danger of potentially causing a power outage, we definitely will take care of those, because that's the last thing we want. So it really just depends on what we would see going out there. But they can definitely report it if there's a concern of potentially an outage being caused by it.
Brandy, given the number of rental single-family homes that exist here in Marion County, it's not something where you all, if the neighbor sees something wrong with the tree on their neighbor's property and that owner lives out of town, you still want to know that there's a potential problem.
We definitely want to know, because when it, especially so when we talk about these storm situations, there are a number of things that can lead to outages. But in terms of those top outage causes, it's definitely trees, tree limbs, and cars. And so if you're in a situation where you think that those tree limbs are impacting your service, mm-hmm. Then we need to know.
And since the person sent me a text message, that means they've got their phone close by. They should call, 261-8111? Is that the number?
Yes.
261-8111, or they could go, could they report it on at IPL Power on the website, and it still needs to be by voice?
I would say in this case we'd rather hear from the person, especially because it's not actually at their home, to get additional information okay. as far as directions are concerned.
All right, 239-1310, let's start today with Kim. Hi, Kim.
Good afternoon, Amos.
Good afternoon.
Well, I wanted to make a comment, and basically it is that to the consumers that don't think they have an avenue to make complaints against IPL, they should Google or go online to the IRUC Commission and make their complaint. And, you know, because this story of your appliances working overtime and this, when they really know nothing about what type of appliance you may have, energy efficient appliances. but your bill reflects that some temperature outside range. I guess they're charging by the temperature outside, which it appears to be that way. So, I mean, I don't want to stay on the phone and, you know, have a drawn-out conversation. I just want people to know that they do have a recourse and, you know, and maybe more complaints should be filed.
Well, let me ask a question. Wait a minute. You're not going to get away that easy. Are you saying that Power and Light charges based upon the temperature outside your house?
Well, I mean, what would you say? Because the bill doesn't reflect, well, your refrigerator worked overtime this winter or your furnace worked overtime this winter. So where do they get that from? Well, your utilities or your appliances work harder in the winter. How do you know that? I might have new appliances. You know, it's just like it's a spew that they give to make an excuse for why your bill is $200 in the summer but $600 in the winter with this temperature reading on your bill. I mean, it makes no sense.
All right. Since I get my bills electronically, and usually I just look at how much I owe them and just pay the money, are temperatures listed on the bill? And if so, why?
The temperatures are, there's a couple points I want to make. And so she's bringing up some very great and valid points. And first off, IPL, all utilities, we are regulated by the Indiana Utility Regulatory Commission. And so, that definitely is an option that all of our customers need to know is that the decisions that we make and what we're doing, there is a body in place to make sure, you know, we can't just go out there and raise rates and we can't just put certain things in process. You know, for the last year, we've waited for approval, to build this new natural gas powered plant. That was a year of the IURC going through that case and then filing and then giving us our decision. Mm-hmm. But one thing that I think it's important for our customers to know is that the more you understand your bill, the more you can help manage those costs. And so we have a program called PowerView. And to me, this is an important segue because it's a great program that a lot of our customers aren't utilizing. And so if you're an IPL customer, you can log on to our website, iplpower.com, and you can create a PowerView account. And it tells you everything you want to know about the different things that could raise your rates in terms of, you know, and not just giving you those tips. And so one great thing that I love about PowerView is you can go down to the day and I can say, you know what, today, the high today was 53 degrees and I spent maybe $2 on electricity. So it actually, you know, it's one thing when you say, okay, my electricity bill this month was $100, mm-hmm. and maybe that's over my budget. How do I get that down? So when I see that Monday through Friday, I'm spending on average $5 a day, but on Saturday and Sunday, I'm spending $20 a day on my electricity. What am I doing differently? A lot of people on the weekends are washing their clothes. Maybe instead of washing, you know, three loads, you can get that down to one load. For me, I've got two young kids, so there was a time where I was running the dishwasher two times a day trying the quick way to clean the bottles. When you realize how that impacts your usage, which translates to your pocketbook, that's when you make those changes.
239-1310, 239-1310 is afternoon's name. In terms of Leah Brown, if somebody calls customer service, we always tell listeners that everybody has a boss. The only person in this world that doesn't have a boss is God Almighty. Everybody reports to somebody. If somebody is talking to one of your customer service persons and they're not satisfied, we usually say you have the right to ask for a supervisor. Is that correct?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And if you get the supervisor and aren't satisfied, is there another appeal up?
Absolutely. There's quite a few, many layers up that they're more than welcome to if they need to. Usually we're able to resolve it within the call center, but it's not uncommon for me to have to talk to a customer. We also have a customer advocate who talks to customers as well that's part of, deals with some of our executive complaints and so forth. So.
Correct me on what is the status, or maybe it doesn't exist anymore, of the payment center at 21st in Illinois?
It still exists.
It still exists?
Absolutely.
All right, because I think there was confusion in the community as to whether it still existed or not. So people can still come and either pay in person or see a human being eyeball to eyeball about their account?
They can do both there. We really, as far as the face-to-face interactions, to speak to a customer service agent, try to limit it to some of maybe we need to validate identity, make sure that there's some major extreme situation going on, really, rather than just normal customer service transactions, because that is a more expensive transaction for the business. So in efforts to keep our costs low, we try to.
So so what you really are trying to do it more on the phone, and so unless it is some complex customer thing, then that would be an eyeball-to-eyeball discussion with an IPL representative.
Exactly right.
239-1310. 239-1310. Then go back to the phones. And Charles, hi there.
Wayne.
How are you?
I have two quick questions. Okay. First question is, and I have a house that I'm rehabbing and I'm not living in it. And I had all new appliances. I just used the refrigerator, had it on. And in February 2013, they had a transformer up on 56th Street that blew up. And it spiked everybody's power, and we were down for like 7 hours or something like that. And it blew the compressor out of a brand-new refrigerator. The company that manufactured the refrigerator wouldn't replace it. I kept trying to call IPL, and they never returned a call or anything like that. I called the insurance company, and they were saying, well, you would have to pay $1,000 deductible. So I just gave up on it and just fixed it myself. And I really think that was quite unfair because, it wasn't like I was using it, and it was still a brand-new refrigerator. Nobody even took the courtesy to call me back from Power and Light to even explain, or make up excuse for what they didn't want to cover.
So the transformer blew, had a surge, and blew you out.
Yeah, blew my compressor out on the refrigerator.
And when you called IPL, did you ever get the name of a person you talked to?
Never got a name. Every time it was always a voicemail box and things like that. You never got no response back.
And you called the 261-8111 number?
I believe so. I'm not sure now because, like I said, that was in 2013, February.
Leah Brown, when you call 261-8111, obviously you're going to be put on hold and you listen to the music and the commercials. How important is it if a customer really wants to talk to somebody to hold on, even if it might take 10 or 20 minutes?
It's extremely important. And in that kind of situation, we would definitely want to talk to the customer.
Is there any occurrence where somebody would go to a voicemail message, or is that unusual?
It's unusual. There are some occurrences if we need to talk to a specific individual about something, but typically we try to avoid the voicemail if we can.
So you never heard back from anyone at Power and Light?
No, not a person.
All right, I tell you what I want you to do. I don't know whether there's anything they can do, but they can at least look up your records, and give you a conversation and see what's going on. So, Charles, I want you to hold on, and Charmaine, the young lady that you talked to when you called me, is going to pick up the phone off the air and get your information. So if you would be so kind as to share your name and a phone number where you can be reached during the day.
All right, thank you.
And then they'll follow up with you. So, Charmaine, if you'll get him on hold, and that will allow me, while you're doing that, to talk to William at 239-1310. Hi, William.
Hello, Amos. How are you? I don't know if I can bring this up or not, but it's concerning IPL.
Okay.
About the rate that it haven't went into law yet, but they asking for every customer to pay a certain percentage to certify the electric cars and stuff like that.
The electric, my friends at the French electric cars that don't want to talk to me. That's a good question. Brandy, first of all, why does every customer, all 440,000 IPL customers, have to pay something so a few people can drive around in fancy electric cars from France?
So we're talking about the Blue Indy program, which IPL has partnered with the City of Indianapolis. And so we've submitted a proposal to the Indiana Utility Regulatory Commission to invest the max would be up to $16 million in this electric vehicle car sharing program. However, I've gotten a lot of questions from friends, family, and the same question, why do I have to pay for that? Mm-hmm. And before I even talk about, what we see as the benefits of the program, it's important for people to know that, as I was talking earlier about the Indiana Utility Regulatory Commission, this hasn't been approved. And so right now, there is an opportunity for customers to weigh in. I know that if you go to the OUCC's website, they still are taking making comments on this case. But so this hasn't been approved. If it is approved, then our customers could expect up to, at the max, so this is if we were to invest the total $16 million, 44 cents a month increase for 5 years.
Let me ask this question. If Eli Lilly, Eli Lilly as an example, if Eli Lilly wanted to build a new plant, and they wanted to put a whole lot of fancy electric equipment in the plant so that they can make fancy and better medicine. And that would require you, Power and Light, to spend several million dollars on extra generating and extra thingamajigs to bring the electricity to this plant. Would Eli Lilly be paying the cost of that? Or would all the customers be paying the cost of that, even though it just benefits Eli Lilly?
I understand. I understand your comparison. So I understand what you're getting at in terms of it would be Eli Lilly. And so when we talk about why would IPO want to invest? Why would the customers have to pay for this? So when we look at this project, it's about, and I think for, you know, everyone who is familiar with IPO, we really focus on being good stewards in this community in terms of our community involvement.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we're looking at this, we look at it as it'll make Indianapolis a better place to live and work. And so there, it's not unlike us to be involved in projects like this. There's, you know, infrastructure that we had to put in place for the cultural trail, mm-hmm. getting ready for the Super Bowl. So I think collectively, we look at it as we have 470,000 customers, and it's these kind of projects. There are people who said, you know what, I don't think this much should be spent on Lucas Oil Stadium. I'm never going to go to a football game. You know, I don't want to walk down the cultural trail, but, you know, collectively, these things make Indianapolis the city that it's growing into.
But this is, so far, this is a company that has flat out refused to talk to this African-American community and African-American media about the blue Indy cars, first of all.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, their early proposal of where these charging stations would be, virtually none are in African-American communities and whole neighborhoods seemingly are being excluded. If this is a rental program, why shouldn't the cost of that infrastructure be built into the cost of renting the cars? I mean, this is something that just, even yeah, it's 44 cents a month. And granted, that's not even a pack of chewing gum. But does IPL really understand that this is something that is rubbing people the wrong way, particularly with the lack of disrespect that Bolore and the city has had in not even showing the respect to 28% of this community to even come and explain what this thing is?
I mean, I can speak to the fact that I have been upfront in any request that I've gotten to talk about the program and why IPL looks at it as a benefit to be involved. In terms of the people who are going to utilize the program, you know, when you think about, we've heard a lot about, you know, whether it's lack of mass transit, but to me, there's so many different groups that this program could benefit from. You know, for those people who maybe you do have cars, but it's easy to, if you're downtown and, you know, maybe you've walked 10 blocks from where you've parked to be able to go to this location and get this car, go here. For visitors to our city, you've got a number of college students living now in the downtown area, maybe the Broad Ripple area. This is an easy way for you to rent a vehicle quickly to get somewhere. So, I mean, I think that it has huge benefits.
Mm-hmm. 239-1310. 239-1310 this afternoon's name is the Light Company is here. Dorothy, Dietrich, Anonymous, hold on. And if the line is busy, that's the phone company's problem. That's not the Light Company's problem. 239-1310. 239-1310 this afternoon's name is tomorrow. The folks, the head of the Greater Indianapolis Progress Committee, Murray Clark, will be here. They've got this thing called Plan 2020. You know, what should our city look like in 2020 and beyond? They'll be here along with attorney Jimmy McMillan to talk about that. It's After News with Amos on a Thursday. 239-1310. 239-1310 is After News. Amos, the folks from the Light Company are here. And during the break, they were saying that somebody said earlier that they'd gotten the bill with the temperature, and that's something that those of us with online bills, I was on looking at my online bill and couldn't find it, but that's this new online bill system that starts this month or next.
It should be this month.
This month, soon. Let me go back to the phones. And Dorothy, hi there.
How you doing, Amos?
I'm fine.
Yeah, and I was wanting to ask your guest a question. Are there meter men still coming out reading the meters? Do they still have that service?
Do the meter men come out and meter men and ladies read the meter?
No, there's very few, but no, almost everything that we can do now can happen remotely.
So,
okay.
Okay.
I'm sorry. But another question I have is that why is it when IPL disconnects your service, when you're trying to get your service turned back on, they add so many other fees. They add truck fee for coming out, turning it off. Then they add an additional fee for the thing, I forgot what it was. They charge that like $50-something or $60 to turn that back, plus additional your gas bill. I mean your light bill. Why is all these fees included?
All right, so Leah Brown, somebody forgets to pay their bill for whatever reason, and that's when a human being has to come out and cut off the power.
Yes.
There's a charge for that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how much is that charge?
$10.
That's $10. Mm-hmm. Then when the customer calls you up and said, oh, okay, I'm going to pay the bill, and they pay it, how much is it to get it? How much is the charge for the guy to come back out and turn it on?
29, I believe.
29. Mm-hmm. So it's really $39 to get your stuff back on.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Was that how much you paid, Dorothy? I think Dorothy kind of left us. So there's a fee for the guy to come out, since you got guys and ladies don't come and read the meters anymore.
Right.
And there's a fee for the person to come back out and turn it on.
Right.
Okay. See the things we learned. Back to the phones and Anonymous. Hi there.
Hello.
Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. I have a problem with the light company that has become a harassment. I keep getting these letters in the mail that is comparing my usage with my neighbor's usage. And I am aware that I pay well over $100 a month, but I have sick husband who has machines running 24/7.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want that to stop. I have never missed a payment, even though sometimes my bill is close to $200. So I don't know why they're sending people. I got the same letter.
Right.
And is there any way you can get that stopped?
All right, well, hold on, because one, your phone's kind of breaking up. Why would this customer be getting a letter if she's making her payments in a timely manner?
She is referring to our home energy assessment reports. And so throughout the year, I think it's right now it's quarterly. We'll take out of our 470,000 customers at any given time, maybe about 100,000 of them will receive these home energy assessments. And so the purpose is to serve as a useful tool to see this is kind of where you stand for most of us in your neighborhood. Typically on any given street, a lot of the homes are around the same size as the other. So, it's really more of a guide. If you're spending on average this amount a month, but your neighbors are spending this, then we're trying to show you that there's opportunities for you to reduce that energy usage. And so that's when you can, you know, utilize some of our programs, like some of our power tools programs, to see, okay, maybe there are some other things that I can do. However, if she doesn't want to receive those reports, we can get her information and definitely make sure that she doesn't get them anymore.
All right, so Anonymous, you still there?
Yes.
All right, I want you to hold on, and Charmaine, the young lady that you talked to when you called me, I want you to give Charmaine your name and a phone number where you can be reached during the day, and Power and Light will call you and make sure you don't get that letter no more, okay?
Good. Before you go, though, did I hear you say to Dorothy that they don't read the meters anymore?
For the most part, we don't. There are still a few places. So we've, over the last couple of years, been deploying this new technology. So there still are a few meter readers, but for the most part, that is going away.
They read it electronically.
Yeah.
Okay. Can you explain that to me?
That's a great question. All right. Let me see if I can explain it. They probably have something, an electronic thing on each meter that sends a radio wave, a wave through the airwaves, just like you're listening to me on the radio, and there's no wire in there that's bringing you the signal. And they can sit at a computer at their headquarters and call up your meter and read what the meter says, how much you've used.
Okay, I'm going to test them. I'm going to read my meter myself the next time they're due out and see how close we come.
Well, make sure you pick the days close to when it says on the bill they read the meter.
Right.
You know, pick 2 or 3 days on either side of that date and look at your meter, okay?
Okay.
That's a great way to test. Thank you.
Okay.
See, this is why we have the smartest talk show audience. And if a customer wanted to read their own meter, what are they reading on the back? They're reading the numbers on the little dials?
Yeah, there's 5 digits.
There's five little circle things. And so is it the little meter or is it actual a number?
It's numbers.
It's numbers.
Yeah, it's not necessarily digital, but they're like rolling dials.
Okay. But see, I'm going to test that on my meter at home.
I should also add, though, so when people are doing that, and if you feel like, you know, something's wrong with this meter, give us a call. Don't try to fix it yourself, because that's another issue in terms of we get calls where, you know, maybe someone tried to, you know, mess with the meter to see something's wrong with
the meter. There's live electric. You get killed with that.
We know this, Avis. But it's important to put it out there. I mean, it's a safety concern, but I want people to know that if you really feel that there is, that, you know, the numbers are wrong and that you didn't use that much, let us know. Give us a call.
Let me go to Dietrich at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hi, we need change. You know, this great old country, the U.S. of A., you know, it's like, you know, this has to come from, you know, the good people from the Black House. You know, the state house office, the private people, this is global. You know, they didn't set up monopolize, the IPA, the water, the animals, all this stuff is supposed to be free for the people. You know what I'm saying? There's like this racist system and this whole, like, our black community, we must come together, black males and black females, and these black churches and these business people, we need to come together and take care of ourselves, because they're going to continue. You know, I might not even see it in my lifetime. You know what I'm saying? I hope my nieces and her kids be able to see a change where these people get their act together. All this money they spending and getting from the people, and we're barely making it. And I understand the people at your podium, they got to do a job, and they're doing their job. But this thing is this is too big. So I hope you understand where I'm coming from.
I think we understand. I appreciate it. Let me go to Cherish at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hi, Amos. Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I just want to comment on the Blue Indy situation and let people know of the fact that they are going to see an increase on their bill. I'm really concerned about that as a state legislator and my constituents seeing that rate increase. But they can and do still have an opportunity to express their concerns. And I wanted to give them the telephone number to call in and express their concerns about the program. And that number is 232-2494.
That's the Utility Regulatory Commission.
That is the Office of Utilities Consumer Counselor. And that is the arm of the state of Indiana that should be looking out for ratepayers in all of the rate cases that go before the IURC. I met with them earlier this week, and I've been reading a lot of the materials, and the city has been, you know, they've met with them. The Citizens Action Coalition is getting involved, and they are stepping up on behalf of ratepayers. But people really need to speak out and say what they feel about this. This is a very unprecedented situation that the city is trying to get people to go into. I still have not seen how much it's going to cost people to actually pay for that service.
And we're talking about
for the actual car. So you go and you get a car. I still haven't seen how much it's going to actually cost. The only thing I've seen is it's going to be that it's in Paris, it costs $4.50 for 20 minutes. Well, if you're a senior citizen on fixed income, you know, $4.50 for 20 minutes is a lot of money. That's $18 an hour. You know, $4.50 is more than you're paying for a gallon of gas.
Let me ask you, this is State Representative Cherish Pryor, by the way. Did the people from Indy Blue Indiana, Beloria, whatever their name is, have they briefed the legislative delegation from Marion County on this plan?
With all the legislators that I've spoken to, they've not briefed any of us. Matter of fact, there are so many people who in the community who are unaware of the program. And the people who are aware of the program, they just think, oh, you know, these electrical cars are going to be out here.
they're clueless as to the fact that they're going to see rate increases on their power and light bill. And it's not the IPL that is at issue. And I can't say that I have a problem with the program. It sounds like a pretty neat idea. The challenge that I have is that ratepayers are asking to pay for a service that is going to be owned by a private company. And this is not a proven program anywhere else other than Paris, but the situation in Paris is quite different than people in Indiana who like to ride their cars. If this the mayor and everybody is touting how great the program is, then maybe that is the case. But if it's so great, then these private businesses who think it's so great should put up their money for the program the same way we do when we're trying to get a Super Bowl. They can guarantee all this money to bring a Super Bowl to Indianapolis. Why not guarantee put their money behind this program? Everybody's wanting people to pay these rate increases, but none of those people who are saying increase the rate payers for these 470,000 people, none of them are saying we need to increase the minimum wage.
And that number for the utility consumer counselor is 232-2495, 232-2495?
2494.
Oh, 2494. 232-2494. 232-2494. I bet you, State Representative Cherish Pryor, that's whoever is responsible for talking to legislators from Indianapolis Power and Light, I bet you're going to get a call and email. I just have that feeling.
I hope I do. And you know, this is the last thing I'm saying, yep. I'm sorry. When I was looking at all the documents and all the places where they had filed notices and publications, they filed notices in Putnam County, in pretty much every county, all of the surrounding counties. The one place that they had not filed any notification, according to the filings with the IURC, was with the minority media. The Indianapolis Recorder was not listed as one of the entities in which a notice of these hearings had been filed, and that is a complete travesty, not to the people there, but to the people who are handling the noticing for IPL in the city of Indianapolis. Completely ignore, going to your point, the minority community, who will be most negatively impacted by this. It's very egregious.
Brandy Davis-Handy, does the legal notices on this, is the recorder included?
I'll have to check that. If it wasn't, then, I mean, that was a huge oversight, and we'll make sure that that doesn't happen again. So I don't know the answer, but I will definitely check into that.
All right. I appreciate it. State Representative Cherish Pryor, 239-1310. 239-1310 is absolute name. Let me go to an email. Speaking of the cars, Jacqueline says she is eluding the question. I guess she's not. Why don't the manufacturer or the owner of the car pay for their own electric fuel? They can make the pump payable by credit card. Okay, 239-1310, 239-1310. Let me go back to the phones right quick before we take a break. And Ramona, hi there.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
My question is to the ladies, are you all switching over from coal to natural gas? Because it seems like I read something about that in the Indiana Business Journal.
Yeah.
And if you are, why don't you all tell the public that they're going to have serious rate increases?
We are making a number of changes to our overall generation portfolio for a number of reasons. We're looking towards, right now we're in the process of putting together our integrated resource plan, which looks towards the next 20 years. There's definitely been a lot out there in terms of organizations wanting us to stop burning coal. We're looking at how can we produce electricity and make sure that we can serve our customers reliably and still keep cost affordable? And I know we've talked a lot about, rates today, but, in fact, Indiana, IPL customers have some of the lowest rates of all investor-owned utilities. We rank, in terms of the top 20 utilities.
There be rate increases if you switch from coal to natural gas?
There will be. With all of the changes that we're making, so we are planning on building a new gas-fired plant in Martinsville. We have a number of solar projects that are under the way. And so what we've been telling our customers is that really, as these changes started in 2012, so between 2012 and 2018, our customers can expect a 2 to 3% increase per year due to the changes that we're making.
But what about the old people? What about the elderly and the poor? Have you all considered them? Because right now all I've heard is the fact that people are going to be paying more. And nobody has brought this to the community to tell us what exactly is going on or how much it's going to cost us.
You know what? I definitely understand your frustration. And this is, to me, this is such an important topic because most places that I go, and I'm really happy that you called in because one of the things that I hear the most is, you know, why does IPL continue to burn coal? We need to close down the coal plants. And one message that I've tried to get, across is, you know, coal has served IPL, reliably for a number of years and it's the most cost effective fuel. However, we understand that there are, you know, cleaner, ways to generate electricity. So what we're working towards is trying to balance the environmental side while still keeping costs low to our customers. And so for us, as we look towards the next 20 years, that's going to be a mix of coal, natural gas, solar, and wind.
The president's announcement earlier this week about what he wants to do in terms of clean energy, does that also impact what it is you're trying to do? Because he's trying to de-emphasize coal in places like Indiana, Kentucky, West Virginia.
Definitely. I mean, this impacts not just IPL, all utilities. The president's announcement was not a surprise, and this is something that IPL particularly has been working towards the last couple of years. We've known that this was coming. That's why a year ago we filed our plans to build our new CCGT. We've started investing more in solar. However, you know, at the core, we've got to make sure that our 470,000 customers are able to pay those electricity bills. We understand the burden that this place is on them, but the changes that we're making, we have to make in order to keep within all EPA regulations.
Going back briefly to Ramona's comment about low income and the poor, and given the fact that with the exception of a little bit of the territory that IPL serves outside of Marion County, the vast majority, over 90% of your residential customer base are Marion County residents. Income in Marion County has fallen. It is stagnant. It is not growing. Is Power and Light, have the big folks really sat down and looked at the income stagnation of Indianapolis, Marion County households? And does that factor into your decision? This is not like this county was 10 or 15 years ago where incomes were constantly rising. You don't have the suburban counties to lean on in terms of the ability to reach higher income households. You have seen the figures about the number of families living below the poverty line growing, not just in Center Township, but in all townships of this county. And this is not just directed to you. I've had the same conversation on this program with my friends from Citizens Gas and Water. Are y'all really understanding what is actually happening on the ground to households in this county?
No, we understand it. You know, we're getting the calls from our customers. We understand, you know, Leah and I were talking earlier today when we look at the impact that this past winter had in terms of, the temperatures and the fact that we had, you know, those electricity bills went up and we're at the period now where people have had maybe 2-3 months where they haven't been able to pay those bills and they're getting disconnect notices. So we understand the impact, that just, you know, that's just what the temperature does. But then when you add in the changes that we're having to make sure that we can align with all EPA regulations, we understand that this is going to hit our customers hard. And so that's why, you know, when we get the calls about, you know, why are you guys sending us the home energy assessment report? Or, you know, why do you keep talking about energy efficiency? We're doing everything that we can to let our customers know that these changes are happening. And we've been upfront in saying that, you know, this does translate to cost increases.
239-1310. 239-1310 is Zaps News and Amos. We're with Leah Brown, IPL Customer Service, and Brandy Davis Handley. You know, you need to tell, because there's a woman at the top of the pyramid at IPL, right?
Yeah, Kelly Huntington.
I think, Charmaine, shouldn't Kelly Huntington give Brandy a bonus for being here today? I mean a bonus in the pay envelope. Hazard pay. You need to tell Miss Kelly you need hazard pay for being here today.
I love being here.
There you go. 239-1310, 239-1310. More with the Light Company after these. All right, welcome back. 239-1310. 239-1310 is absolutely the name. Got a text message at 37890, keyword Amos. Let me see, pull this up. And so the question is, it got a couple of them. One asked, the blue power program will increase our need to burn coal and other fossil fuels. It will require more energy on the grid. Now that DSM is gone and soon energizing Indiana, all of the energy usage will add up to a cost increase and the building of another power plant instead of more clean energy. And then another text message, three-part text message. Indiana has some of the worst health indicators. A lot has to do with dirty energy and water. Coal is yesterday's technology. Why not use the money pledged for the electric cars and other vanity projects towards subsidizing the cost of power? Also, if IPL had 20 years ago started the conversion process, the cost would have been much lower. Also, IPL pays some of the highest executive salaries. Is anyone looking at reducing salaries? Y'all looking at reducing the executive salaries? Other than the bonus that I want Kelly to give you for being here today.
I don't know that that's true.
Okay.
I'm not sure which part of the text to start with.
What is DSM?
DSM is our demand side management. And so we have our energy efficiency demand side management program.
What is demand side management in English?
It all translates to those energy efficiency tips, the different programs that you can put in place, whether it's things that you can, energy efficiency is, you know, unplug this and mm-hmm. you can save energy. Demand side management is more of you can buy this kind of refrigerator, these mm-hmm. appliances that can over time help you. So what they're referring to is at the end of this year, our Energizing Indiana program, the statewide energy efficiency program, will go away. Mm-hmm. However, IPL has been really focused and has been providing these energy efficiency programs before that program was in existence. I think it was since 1993.
Right.
So we just recently, maybe 2 weeks ago, filed our plans with the IURC. It's a two-year plan for how we're going to continue with our program. Once Energizing Indiana ends.
Buying those expensive, funny-looking light bulbs, does that really save on your bill?
It does.
It does.
It really does.
So people shouldn't go, when they go to the dollar store, and buy the cheap, old-fashioned light bulbs that look like they've been looking for the last 100 years. They should pay a little bit more and buy the funny-looking curly-Q light bulbs, and that actually could lower a little bit their electric bill.
You'll end up saving more in the end.
Okay. See the things we're learning. Back to the phones and Yvonne. Hi there.
Yes, I was calling because I wanted to know, since they don't have a meter person come out and read the meters, why is it estimated during the winter months?
Oh, I think you're confusing the gas company and the water company with the light company, and this is coming.
No, because I have Total Electric, and my meter, I was estimated, I had a $1,200 bill come January.
Did the bill under the meter part have the letters EST or E next to
the
rating?
Yes, it was estimated.
It was estimated. All right, Leah Brown, why would somebody's electric meter be estimated if the guy wasn't coming out reading it?
Yeah, that's very uncommon. Every once in a while we'll have a meter issue where we'll have to estimate the reading, but then we'll typically send somebody out there to actually get the data. But that's very uncommon. And to find out exactly why, I'd need to get her information and look into it for her.
All right, Yvonne? The caller, are you still there? Charmaine, is she still there? If she's still there, let's get her information off air. She disappeared? Yvonne, we were getting ready to help you! Don't give up early. We're trying to get a blessing your way. Let me go to Denise at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hello, Amos. How are you?
I'm fine.
Good. I want to first say Happy Father's Day to you and all the fathers out there.
Thank you.
But I wanted to call because, first I want to comment on the earlier caller. That was a good idea to read your meter and compare it to the light, to the bill that you get.
Okay.
But the other thing, I had the program, what is it, the energy, when they come out and they inspect your home and make sure there's no drafts mm-hmm. and the lights and give you all these new bulbs and things. I had been using those newer bulbs anyway.
Okay.
But anyway, I let them replace the bulbs with the newer bulbs. And, he gave us a couple of suggestions, like our charger that we leave plugged in, even though the phone's not there. He said, take that out. That'll save energy. So everything that he told us to do, we have done it. And this month, my bill went up. And I don't understand it. I can't, you know, it's not because the air conditioner was on, because we don't run the air conditioner that much. We're gone like 30 days out of the year, summer, anyway. But our bill is so high, and it's not extremely high like the $1,200 ones you just talked about. But I don't understand, if this is supposed to save you, why our bill went up.
Did you recently have that home assessment? Was it in the last couple of months?
We had it about 2 months ago. Ah. So this would have been a bill that should have shown savings.
I would definitely say, you know, the important thing about energy efficiency and, you know, making these changes is that it is gradual. And so if you've ever gone onto PowerView and we list the different, tips that you can do, some of them will say immediate or gradual. Some take, you know, really
right.
4 months. And so, I mean, I understand the frustration because, you know, you do all of these things. And so, you're looking for that lower bill, but I think it does take time. And, you know, and outside of that, there could be, we could get your information. We'd have to see if, you know, if there is something else that could contribute to that, but unfortunately it really doesn't happen overnight, but it's changes if you put in place now, definitely over time you will save.
Yeah, and one of the things I think that's important is that our bills, are very seasonal with things like air conditioning. So the best time to compare it is really looking at this past April where you didn't have the changes, and then look at next April and really have more of a side-by-side comparison, because when you compare it to June, sometimes that's difficult.
Right? So Denise, I want you to hold on. And we're going to put you on hold, and then Charmaine, the young lady that you talked to when you called me, is going to pick up the phone. And if you would give Charmaine your name and a number where you can be reached during the day, okay?
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. 239-1310. You too. 239-1310. 239-1310. This afternoon's name is Will. Take a break, and then we will come back with more with the folks from Power and Light, Brandy Davis Handy and Leah Brown. And then we'll end up the program with some thoughts on the passing of Ruby Dee. She passed away with her family around her side. The information we're getting now is that she passed of natural causes. Yesterday she was 91, one of the great actresses, black, white, Hispanic, green, or otherwise, in stage and screen and television in this country. Ruby Dee has gone to be with her beloved husband, Ossie Davis, at God's side. We'll have more after these.